I'm Jerwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we've never been wrong, ever. This week, Bully and American Psycho.
Will they make it to heaven or hell?
We'll decide. Welcome to Rapture.
Ready, testing. Hey. Oh my god, they're both working.
Wait, on your first try?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to go.
Well, yeah, you guys are booked.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear it. See you guys soon.
Bye.
Love you.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Like a breath of fresh air.
It's always a little jolt down the spine.
I was like, oh, I could have watched an entire episode of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you could have watched the pilot of Girls on the new DVD.
Four episodes of Bluey or one episode of Girls. I cannot wait to crack that open.
I know.
Mutual aid, urgent DVD player needed at my house.
Get
soon.
Gay guy way to watch Girls with audio commentary.
Right. I'm like, I do have a Max subscription, but this might be able to get me to delete Max. Because there hasn't been a good movie. Wait, did I tell you about like one of the last times I cried so viciously?
No.
Death of Unicorn.
Wait, with Jenna Ortega?
Jenna Ortega owns some of my tears. I got so angry about it.
Why?
Okay, I hadn't cried. A huge part about me is that I love to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much anything can make me cry, but I was in sort of a drought.
Okay, yeah.
And I saw that it got released on Max, so I was like, okay, I'll fucking watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it, and I was like, this movie is so stupid. The CGI is so crazy bad. Suddenly, at the end, I am hysterically sobbing.
Well, because it's about like father daughter, right?
Right. And like
that gets you.
It is really scary to watch someone die.
Who died?
Paul Rudd.
Really?
But then they get a little woke about it. They resurrect him through drugs.
Oh, which
is like the
ketamine.
Yeah. Advil. That was like, I truly hadn't had like that cathartic of a moment, mm-hmm, in like probably a week at that point. And I was, okay, like, so clearly this is like other stuff that's building up and like pent up, and I needed to cry about it. But what the fuck, Jenna Ortega's like jewel is making me cry.
Yeah,
a little bit. Like,
she's vaping in the
she's
movie.
Vaping,
yeah,
in the movie. Yeah. Her dad is like, you vape?
Mm-hmm.
No. She like, obviously I don't like her, mm-hmm, but I
you
was
can like her
sobbing.
If you want.
No, I've never really found her compelling, mm-hmm, but for some reason that day I really was like hysterically sobbing.
Sometimes all it takes is like a Will Poulter original, like Will Poulter in the Turtleneck.
Right, he was like randomly being the best part of that movie too.
Really?
Yeah,
he's kind of funny.
So funny when he has one inflated ball in We're the Millers.
Yeah.
Like gets bit by a spider and it's like a basketball.
That movie is so funny.
I think that like 2013, once again, it, mm-hmm, always comes back to this. We'll have to do a full like cultural topology of 2013 and,
yeah,
why
for,
it
like
is
a year.
Like one whole year of the podcast is like what made it
so
great.
Good. Yeah,
right. I was like, that year is drugs to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, nostalgia is a hell of a drug,
right? I'm like, so this is what like my brother felt about like
2005.
Yeah, maybe like
six?
MySpace.
Have you been seeing the teens that are throwing 2016 parties?
Yeah, when my cousin texted me, like, can I wear any of your clothes? I was like, that is, first of all, harassment.
Stay away from my Toms.
Yeah. I'm like, for your safety and mine, I don't know what will be unlocked if you take those out of the, like, I mean, the Toms box that, yeah, that's into my parents' basement. I'm like, that is, like, going to unleash a lot of, first of all, smells, but then,
yeah,
two, okay, let's clock it. 3 minutes and already talking about the sense memory of Tom's. Or it's going to like truly like they might have a mystical element about them where like you put them on and then like you start acting.
I think it's gonna kind of like release an evil spirit into the body, and the evil spirit is Obama era hope.
Like I'm gonna be walking down the street being like, vote. Like it's not an election year at all. Just vote.
Just vote, mama.
Do not hit me with the mama right now.
She's gonna win.
Pussy hat slay. I'm like taking up crocheting. I'm making me and all of my comrades hats.
We're gonna take to the streets.
Did you attend the Women's March in 2017?
Yeah.
That was a funny ass day.
Were you there?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And clock that.
And clock that. Ally. The one time I'm allied to something. Wow, we really thought we ate that. I'm also feeling that energy right now because Chance the Rapper just dropped a new album.
Oh, and he was at Lala.
That's right.
We overheard him.
We did walk past Perry's while he was there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Connie's Pizza did matter to me more than Chancellor the Rapper.
Well, and almost anything would matter more to me than...
I was listening to it, and I was like, okay, this is Coloring Book 2.
Well, yeah, he can't replicate.
He can never redo acid rap, and God forbid he does the big day again, even though I am the one person in America and maybe the world that's like, I listened and I loved it.
I can't say I've listened to anything besides, like, No Problem.
Right.
You know?
Because in college we were, like, actually, like, it was mandatory jury duty to listen to No Problem at least once a night every single weekend.
We're in Chicago!
Yeah, and then you would watch, like, 14, like, white people that you just met that night say the N-word.
And they're like...
If one more label tries to stop them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a real moment. I remember, like... It might have been, like, right at the beginning of my college experience where you're meeting, like, 100 people every other day. Yeah. And we were at a party, and sure enough, during that song, the cops were like, we're busting the shit. I was like, whoa, the woke police work. I'm like, that's what woke radicalized me. I was like asking people for their pronouns after that.
Caroline, do you want to join my improv troupe later?
Gag me.
Yeah.
I peed.
Yeah, listen to that.
Say me I word. I'm like, okay, I'm immediately like 10 rungs down. Like, there's a power dynamic suddenly because you brought up my like hobby and passion.
Well, you were on the like team du jour, kind of.
The way that I treated that shit, like it was like a house in the Hamptons. I was like,
being on 2002 Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. And by the way, say the government name of my improv team. Thank you very much. It's the most improv team name.
I actually really like that name. I think it's really funny.
Well, like all the other teams that we were playing with in college were like Duty Butt. It was like literally a team called the Cosby Sweaters. And like it was like 2016 when they had to change it.
Okay. Yeah. Like pre or post.
I'm like, I think that it was like a historic team.
Okay.
And they changed it like. After 10 years or whatever.
Okay.
They were like, we've got to actually figure this out.
Well, good. Woke police win again.
Great. The woke mob is after me. They're actually banging on your door.
No, but you were kind of in like, because I knew who you were like before we were like friends because of like, you know, the improv.
The scene.
I was like, just like friends with people like in that.
So you never really got to know me because I was playing a character up there.
Yeah, and I was like a little intimidated because you were on 2002 Chicago Bulls.
Like it's like when we think about like a cappella too. Mm-hmm. It's like when you were in it. And by the way, all love to the a cappella because
yes.
Seriously.
We look at the computer.
I'm like, we quite literally are being recorded right now. But it's like when you're in it is like the only thing that matters. It's like it is like truly I get why sororities and fraternities are like so like all encompassing and engulfing because I was kind of like making believe with 18-year-olds. Yeah. I was like
Well, when you know that line in Pitch in Pitch Perfect where he's like
you're already crying thinking about Bitch Perfect.
When he's like, we are the kings of campus.
Is that when they're like standing on top of that pool, that empty pool? That is a dream. There's
I just love that line read.
Who says it? Adam Devine?
No, I think Skylar Astin.
Oh. Hi. When you see his butt in the first season of Girls, yeah. Whoa, that really opened shit up for me.
Shoshana lost her virginity to him, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Massive spoiler ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Massive spoiler for season 1. 10-year-old
spoiler.
I'm like, well,
she's turning 10 this year. 12, actually.
I'm like, it might even be 13.
2013, it came out, right?
Came out in 2012. Yeah.
She's having her bat mitzvah.
Her Bart mitzvah. Her Bart Simpson mitzvah. Yeah. New show. I don't know. Didn't really love it. From Lena.
I didn't watch it.
Gag.
Well, you know what it is? I'm logged into my dad's Netflix and I have to text him to approve me
right.
watching it every time I want to watch something here. And it's like far too much work.
And he gets to choose. He asks you what show you want to watch and he can tell you if you're allowed to watch it.
No. He just like, it's a parental lock for a 26-year-old.
Like, you are not watching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader shit because I don't want you to turn into one.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, that's what I was texting him to watch.
Did you end up finishing it?
No. I think I made it to like episode 7. But then it's like, if I lose the momentum of watching it, I then have to text him again.
Right.
Like 2 weeks later. Yeah. And it's just like a lot of work.
He's like, but you're still on that. I'll tell you what happens.
Well, I told, yeah.
Your dad is like really
obsessed
with them.
He's like, Judy was being a real bitch.
He was like, and honestly, I donated their GoFundMe because we really need to support the arts.
I like told my mom, I was like, well, I can just like get my own Netflix. And she's like, just stay on it.
It's like $20
a month. I know.
I originally got it to watch Selling Sunset. Mm-hmm. And then it started depressing me to like a massive degree. Yeah. Like, it's like not housewifey anymore. It is like just like true, like
it's like AI
psychosexual warfare. The music is what I stayed for. Mm-hmm. Because that transition music is some of my favorite slop of all mm-hmm. time. Feed it. I want an anal injection of that slop. Like, I want to have it every physical hole.
It's
I can
on
have
your Spotify.
From. Yeah. Like, the names are all just made up. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. There's no digital footprint for any of the people.
No. It's like royalty free, but. Not,
but it's by like a girl named Skylar.
Yeah. I think I've seen her on TikTok, like, not even gonna lie.
The girl who makes it,
yeah. Oh my god, she's like, oh my god, everyone like says this isn't real music, but I'm making it.
Yeah, she's like, I saw somebody who makes AI art, and like their caption in their mm-hmm. Instagram was like, creative prompt giver.
No, we're about to have like a chief creative prompt giver as like a job in 10 years,
right? And it's gonna take over like 25 other people's jobs. Yes. Or like maybe even like hundreds of people's jobs. Or yes. Maybe thousands, actually. Yes! I can't wait for 2026.
Staring down the barrel of the gun.
I'm like, I start sucking on it. Haters keep sucking. I'm gonna shoot myself in the head. Cut that.
Well, and speaking of violence.
Yeah, it seems today like all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV, and that's kind of what we got into today. We explained all of what Family Guy is. Yeah. No, but you're right, we are talking about violence,
masculinity, mm-hmm.
Morality to an extent.
Yeah, a little bit. I think these movies are philosophical kind of musings,
right? And I think that they're a good yin and yang to each other. Mm-hmm. All sharing the same subject matter and came out within like a year of each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today we'll be talking about American Psycho
and Bully. Do you want to give a plot synopsis of American Psycho?
Yeah, so American Psycho is a 2000 flick. It's kind of a chick flick.
Ultimate chick flick.
Yeah, a cool romp for chicks and their friends. It is an adaptation of Bret Easton Ellis's American Psycho, a dark comedy satire sort of like thriller. Has horror elements, of course.
Yeah. But only because men are so scary. Yeah.
It's like the synopsis of Night Bitch, where Amy Adams was like, it'll be a comedy to women, but a horror movie for men. I'm like, it kind of
the
is
woke
that.
Mob. Yeah.
It kind of is that, but it's it's about 27-year-old Patrick Bateman, played by Christian Bale.
27, mind you. Your age.
Oh, God. I'm peeing. I was like, you guys seem way older, but it's like when I see 27-year-old finance bro now, I'm like, yeah, you, yeah, this it checks. Ages them. It checks. Yeah. And yeah, he kind of just goes around killing people because
his life is absorbed by consumerism.
Is it real? Is it not? We don't really know.
That is the most fun. And yeah. Do you want to give a little synopsis of Bully?
Bully is a 2001 movie by Larry Clark that follows a group of teens in, is it Southern Florida or is it like Tampa?
To me, all of Florida is Southern Florida, yeah, but I do understand that it's a little different. It was giving very like
Jacksonville vibes. They, it's like a friend group. I think they're like seniors in high school and they're kind of like tormented physically, emotionally, sexually by one of their friends, and they conspire together to murder him, and they do it really poorly.
And it's based on a real story. It's based on a book based on true events and they filmed it
in the same town
where it all happened too.
And it's pretty like gritty and realistic. And another warning for
what is it, the fourth time in violence. A row? I was like, damn, we just gotta put it on every single double feature. Sorry, that like there's gonna be a graphic rape scene.
There's a lot to talk about,
right?
So yeah, let's get into it.
Randomly think that that actual like essay scene is the most violent thing that we saw, and we literally saw Patrick Bateman drop a chainsaw onto a woman from the fifth floor of a staircase.
We saw someone's like nipple get ripped off in Nowhere, right? And this was still grosser.
It was like, yeah, to get into some of like Bully, I think that scene specifically is very scary because of how like realistic and like kind of like how understated the violence is. And I feel like that's kind of Larry Clark's MO for the whole movie. We picked up an interview from ID that was talking about his vision. And they say in this oral history of Bully that Larry doesn't want to use any makeup. He wants to shoot in Florida where it really happened. He wants the kids to be sweaty and greasy, and he wants it to be handheld.
And sweaty and greasy they were.
Oh, my. You could smell it through the
They
TV.
Looked like they smelled. Like, the thing that I thought was interesting about these two movies is that it's very much like a Venn diagram where they, like, overlap in certain themes, but they are, like, completely different in other ways. Like, Bully is super realistically shot, like, gritty, very like on the ground, handheld, like these characters feel like real people, they're talking like real people, they're acting like real people. And American Psycho is like very like smooth and clean and like stark and cold, in like an amazing way, like it serves the story perfectly. But it's interesting how they're kind of two sides of the same coin in a way, but just showing two super different aspects of like this like kind of toxic masculinity and violence and how that like affects the people around them.
Yeah, like it's so clear that American Psycho is like deep fiction. It's like all these like twisted fantasies. Though it's like set in the real world, like people do not talk like that, and like that like helps the style of the movie, while Bully like goes right into realism. I really love the dialogue in Bully. I thought that it really was like good. Really like well crafted, and I don't know how it was adapted from the book, like what that writing process looked like, but I do remember in another interview where it was like, we actually stopped even shooting from the script and started just doing it straight from the book. Because it was easier for the actors to, like, feel the story from the book.
Yeah.
I remember we got a gorgeous dinner and you were telling me about this story and was like, this is fucking juicy. Dude.
Yeah.
Like, seven people conspiring together to kill a guy and then doing it horribly.
So badly. But then it's like, when you watch it, it's like this guy, like, really was, like, tormenting these people.
Right.
I think he, like, raped two of them. Is kind of like pimping out his best friend and like beats the shit out of him
while he's driving. That like first scene to be like, okay, these are two best friends, and then he's like punching the shit out of his best friend while he's driving his car, and the friend is like, ow, verge off the street, and is like, don't fuck up my car, after like his face is busted.
Like, crazy. Yeah. Crazy stuff. And, like, I guess in real life, like, the guy, his name was Bobby, the one that got killed. Bobby Kent was his name. I think he was, like, gay or bi in real life. And they kind of took that out of the movie. But there was, like, some, like, tones underneath. And I also thought in American Psycho, like, it's like the gayest movie.
Well, also the one gay scene where Patrick goes to the bathroom to strangle the gay guy, and is like, the gay guy pulls his leather glove down a little bit while Patrick has his like hands around his neck, and he kisses like the base of his hand, and it like makes Patrick spiral so bad. It's like
he washes his leather glove hands, right? Which was so funny.
It was so funny. But like, yeah, I think that that's a really interesting like sliver that they both touch on, which is like the fragility of that masculinity and like being threatened by something like intimacy, especially queer intimacy, would be a really, really tough thing for either of Bobby or Patrick to really handle in a well-adjusted way.
Yeah, because I think I'm reading this book called Boys and Sex right now that's like about teenage young adult boys and like, you know, love and sex and like how they like go about the world, whatever, and like they are so afraid of like being seen as gay that they but they don't like let themselves like have emotional intimacy with like other men or like even their girlfriends. So it's like the way that comes out, like bottling all those emotions up, it's like through violence.
Yeah,
you know,
because it's like there's a tenderness to intimacy that they reject and like are also to an extent like not afforded it. Like I watched this TikTok of a guy who works with like teens who are just hitting puberty, and they like had a conversation because one of them used the F slur, and they're like, so like, what is so bad about being gay? And they're like, honestly, I don't really know. It's just like, I do want to give my like guy friends compliments. I do want to say like they're good at sports, but that's gay, so I can't. And I'm like suppressing these like even like normal things, like giving somebody a compliment, like praising somebody else would be considered like a fault on your manhood. So I think that it's just like you push that down so far. These movies kind of show how like
what happens.
Yeah, like violence, like even in the satirical way, like you just watch the emptiness of these like boys and men and the ramifications of that emptiness.
Right, because it kind of it spills out into everyone around them. Like bully specifically, because it's like it's like so real and like based on real people and conversations and stuff. It's like Bobby really seems like he's in love with Marty. You know what I mean? Like he's like pimping him out. He's making him go to like they're at like a gay club, and when he makes him like go like be part of like the strip,
take his shirt off and,
and it's like he seems like he's angry that he like quote unquote can't be outwardly in love with him, and so that manifests in like extreme violence towards Marty, towards Lisa and Allie, and like everyone. It's in an American Psycho, it's like all these men in this world are only doing anything to impress each other. You know, it's like that is like the ultimate prize, is to be like, is to one up each other, like have the best business card, be like have the best reservation, have the hottest girl, you know.
I think like also in respect to Patrick and Bobby's character, it's like the only way that they know how to evaluate themselves is through domination, so they assert themselves in those ways. And I think that like the most like perverted scenes in American Psycho to me are like the business card scene, where they're like getting into every single detail of this piece of paper that they worship more than like the humanity of like the women in the movie. Like that's one of like the funniest jokes, is like how much they know about these business cards. or even like, yeah, the food that they're eating and the reservations that they make, like, mm-hmm. they shout out all of these different restaurants and like all of these different like beauty products that like they use, or yeah. like the like they're like, I wear Valentino suits and like da 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 da, all of that stuff is like, that's like where the most perverted part of that movie is, while in Bully it really is like through the direct things of violence that Bobby mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like there's an aspect of like the scheming that Lisa like starts mm-hmm. to be like, we're gonna kill him. Mm-hmm. And then like how it like envelops other people, and like even when you try talking somebody, or when somebody's like, I actually don't want to do this anymore, the hive mentality yes. is like bringing them back to be like, no, but you really do hate him and yeah. you want him to die,
even though he like he didn't do anything to like even some of the people that were involved in the murder.
Right.
I think they were just kind of like bored,
like, you know. I think like I literally don't know his name, but I am going to refer to him from this point on as the gay guy from Mean Girls.
Yes. Yeah.
He was literally like, when he's asked to do the murder, he's like, I've done some crazy shit. Like, his is kind of also a reflection on masculinity, and like he didn't even really want to do that, but mm-hmm. he's like, I have to assert my worth by helping to kill this kid and yeah. like deal with the situation. There's also like the Italian kid who says he's in the mob but he really isn't, mm-hmm. but he just wants to like look hard. Like,
yeah,
there's
so many like other forms fucking of masculinity. Idiots that are like trying to, it's such a thing of like being a teenager where mm-hmm. you're like, well, I guess I can't really say no at this point.
Right. You know? It's like the most like drastic version of peer pressure mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, I would just like maybe find a bottle of vodka about it. Like,
right.
Like maybe we'd go to a football game drunk, but it's like, never would it be that we like intricately sabotage like one person's life yeah. and like beat him to death.
And like feed him to the gators.
Yeah. That whole thing, like the stabbing was really gross. Mm-hmm. Like all of like, you didn't even see that much of the violence, but I think what you don't see is actually even more disturbing.
Yeah, like what they leave out.
Right. Like, I'm like, that is terrifying.
Yeah. There's a quote from The Sunday, and it says, what is it? Oh, Bully is particularly good at portraying a very specific kind of bad moral decision making that probably already has a technical name in game theory, but that I like to call murder as first resort. Murder as first resort is when you rule out less extreme options in favor of something more immediate or definitive in order to avoid the risk of discomfort or failure.
That quote also, I feel like, shares a lot with the ways that Patrick Bateman lashes out. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, the only way that I could handle this is like if it was gone.
Yeah, if I like threw a chainsaw down a stairway and like,
right, I should stab a homeless guy right now because yeah. like I think that he's worthless.
I hate that scene. I hate that scene so much.
You should just get a job. I think it's really funny right before when they're like, we need to help feed the starving people in Africa. Yeah. And then he like literally stabs a homeless black man.
And
like,
his dog.
Right.
Yeah. But I watched American Psycho on DVD with the director's commentary.
Shout out Physical Media.
Shout out Physical Media. Everything comes back to Physical Media. And the director, Mary Herron, said that he was basically just spewing like regurgitated Reagan philosophy at this guy, and like he didn't actually care like one way or another mm-hmm. about this, but he just like needed that like power trip like in the moment, or he had been like irritated by something mm-hmm. and just like this guy was here and he stabbed him and then stomped his dog.
I mean, and that's like a direct parallel to like what he feels with like when he is having sex with that woman.
Kirstie. And
I forget the way I'm like, I'm being a misogynist by not saying their names, hashtag saying their names. But like, he's like literally having sex with her and like mm-hmm. kills her. I'm like, that kind of emotional arc of being like, I need to dominate you and then I need to like literally kill you. Like, that's the only way he can like feel pleasure, or like,
yes.
It's like the extreme version of what is talked about
in
Bully.
They're doing in Bully, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the director.
You can't see this, but Chicken is sniffing my copy of Girls, and I hope he is getting it through osmosis.
He's seen his mother watch it. So the director said that her and Christian Bale kind of, you better stop.
Got you, bitch.
She said that her and Christian Bale kind of played and characterized Patrick Bateman like he was an alien that just got dropped into Earth and was trying to figure out how humans acted. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you notice, there's a couple scenes where he's, like, just, like, working out in his apartment, and, like, in the background there is, like, porn playing or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, mm-hmm. or, like, something of the sort. So if he's going to kill someone, he's going to watch a horror movie, mm-hmm. and figure out how to do it. If he's going to have sex with someone, he's going to watch porn. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's how humans behave, quote unquote. So that's what he's going to do.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There's also a scene, like, right at the beginning when he's in the office for the first time. He's playing Jeopardy on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about, I wrote down the type of bird. It was, like, the male frigate bird. By the way, it's so funny. It sounds like faggot. But it's something that, like, puffs up this kind of, like, sack in its chest, mm-hmm. to, like, puff out to gain a mate. And I think that all of those little background details in,
yeah,
American Psycho are, like, just, like, chef's kiss.
So, like, so good.
Like, you can tell it's, like, from, like, a novel and, like, that kind of interiority that they needed to, like, get across, mm-hmm. through these little details. But I think it's, like, such rich, like, background.
So layered and... Right. Like, she said that his apartment, it's, like, basically straight out of Architectural Digest, yeah. in, like, 1987 or, yeah. whatever. And when he's, like, talking about these songs,
yeah.
They're, like, music, like, album reviews from, like, Billboard that were published,
yeah.
in, like, the same year. Like, everything. She said that, him talking about Whitney Houston was like his sensual song,
yeah.
Which was funny, but yeah, he's like, she said he's a hollow vessel, mm-hmm. that is basically just walking around like a robot,
yeah,
and everyone has to pay the price for it, you know.
And when adapting this movie from the book, the director also said something about taking out the scenes where he interacts with his family, because she also wanted it to be like, this person does not have a family, like, mm-hmm. like an intentional choice to be like, you shouldn't imagine Patrick Bateman coming out of something as natural as a mother, like, yeah. being birthed, because he is so foreign and like such like an amalgamation of just consumerist and over consuming,
yeah.
like as an idea, that he couldn't have been hatched. Born.
Yeah.
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 That is just all so funny.
It's and it's interesting because when this movie came out, like, I don't think it was particularly well received.
I don't think people got it.
But they didn't get it.
I do know that it was pretty well received at the box office itself. Like, it was, yeah. like, provoking people to go and see it.
Well, you know, I think Bret Easton Ellis is a pretty famous author. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale wasn't even, like, that famous at the time.
I don't even think he had done Midsummer Night's Dream yet, and that's a deep cut.
He's so good in this.
His smile, even when you start seeing, like, oh, there's, like, actually, like, kind of a man behind Patrick, mm-hmm. Bateman. Like, those, like, I think that the gay moment is one where you, like, actually see him as he truly is, which is, like, a dribbling loser.
Yes.
Like, spineless, yeah. and, like, terrified of everything. When he's not, like, smiling through it all. And then you only really ever see that again at the end when he's, like, that final chase scene where he's, like, broken down talking to his lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
and there's like one moment, other moment where Chloe Sevigny came over for a date, and mm-hmm. he's like about to kill her, and then he doesn't, and he's like, "You should go,"
right?
You know, because you can see it like switch a little bit where, yeah. he's like the director said that he's like a pinball in a pinball machine, and he could go one way or the other at, mm-hmm. any moment. He really doesn't care,
right?
You know, and. It could be, like, something irritates him and he, like, flips, or, like, he gets tired, so, mm-hmm. he, like, stops, you, mm-hmm. know? It's, like, yeah. so callous, yeah. and scary.
Yeah.
But it is, like, pretty real, like, realistic, I guess.
I mean, like, to the extent that, like, consumer culture and, like, or, like, being a man like that, it's, like, yeah... Baby want to go to sweep now, so I'm going to sweep. It's like, yeah. it's like only about the carnal pleasures and desires, mm-hmm. that like he actually like wants to seek out. Like when he like I think about, like, when he's, like, putting the cat in the ATM.
Yeah.
He's just like, it'd be fun to do that. It's like, he's like pure.
Feed me a stray cat.
Pure id. Yeah. Well, like, I feel like in Bully, it's kind of like super ego takes over of most of that movie, where they're like rationalizing, like when they're trying to convince everybody to kill him, they're rationalizing how they could do that, planning it. And then especially once they do kill him, when everyone is like, oh, I wasn't the one to actually kill him. All I did was stab him. It's like, he was already dead when you stabbed him, so me hitting him in the head with a baseball bat, that was just to make sure that he was dead.
Us putting him in the swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gay kid from Mean Girls. Yeah. He's just like, no, all I did was put him in the swamp. And they're all trying to be like, but what if he wasn't dead yet, so you were the one who technically drowned him? And they're all like,
right, trying, they turn immediately.
Yeah, like, that is, I think, the most, like, stark contrast between these two movies. Mm-hmm. Is like when you finally see the guilt set in and how like self-preservation takes over of mm-hmm. the bully cast. While even when Patrick Bateman is feeling guilt and calling his lawyer at the end, he's like kind of laughing. And like not even just in like a sociopathic way, but like in a way where he's like counting his wins and like rejoicing a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, I killed maybe 10, 20, maybe 40 people. And he's
he said 10, 15, 25.
I don't know. But so at the end of the day, I probably killed like 40 people. Yeah. I had to do it, man.
Yeah. Like,
it was, yeah.
So both movies are like pretty sexual.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like nudity and like graphic sex scenes.
Yes. And I feel like they're a little bit more warranted in American Psycho.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not in high school.
Because they're not in high school.
The teenagers be fucking like that.
Well, the thing is, in Bully, they're warranted in some aspects. Like, even mm-hmm. the graphic ones. Like, you do have to see, like, why these people hate him so much. And, like, why he's kind of, like, a colossal piece of shit.
Right.
But then other sex scenes, like, contributed nothing to the story.
The one like the like thruple thing where like she just answers the phone while fucking and she's like, wait, totally, I'll come over. I'm like,
wait, I know.
That yeah. was funny. Like, that was funny, but it was like, yeah, frivolous or like nudity just for like kind of like provocateur's sake.
Exactly. And in American Psycho, like, I think it was a good way to show his view and treatment of women is like how he treated them when they were having sex, you know, with the sex workers. It's like one way with that like woman he's having an affair with. It's another.
Right.
I think they contributed to the story a little bit more because
I agree with you.
His violence and like build up to his violence like came out through like his sexual activities. And also like American Psycho is directed by a woman, like a gay woman, and so I think her view was a little more pointed. I guess.
And Gloria Steinem is Christian Bale's stepmother.
Yes, exactly. So he's an ally.
My Batman is an ally.
And it, like in the commentary, she said that the woman who played Christy, which is like one of the sex workers that he like ends up killing, is like a good friend of hers, and is like a really like renowned like theater actress in New York, and she said that those scenes were like really, really, really hard for her to film because she was like seeing these like expressions that like her friend was making, but it wasn't her friend, it was like
the character
acting, but it was like so horrific,
right,
what was happening to her. And like when she's running around the apartment when he's chasing her with the chainsaw, like the terror on her face, like
just banging on all of those doors, like I probably would not be able to be on set for that.
Yeah
Because that like that's the scariest thing, is that like, and no one can hear you
vibes. Yes.
Like,
and it was interesting because she said, like, in the real world, like, someone probably would have opened their doors. But, like, in the American Psycho world, like, it's so about loneliness and, like, self-preservation that, like, no one's going to answer.
Yeah. In this New York City, it's a little bit different. And it was also the most depressing apartment complex ever. It's, like, the, like, off-white gray walls and just, like, so much space in between every unit. It was just, like, it was so, sexless and lifeless.
Like, the whole movie is, you know?
But I feel like in Bully, it, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, obviously youth and like life and mm-hmm. the like. I feel like when Lisa and
Marty
are fucking and they're like literally like planning a way to kill him while he like she's riding him, I was like, so that definitely could have been, they could have definitely been doing something else, but it added this like sense of like life to it.
I agree with that. I think it was just like after a while, like there's a quote, it says, what makes Bully great is the stark moral drama. Oh, and this is from the Sunday article, mm-hmm. by the way. What makes Bully great is the stark moral drama of its script, the close psychological study of its characters, how it captures a certain bleak suburban mood hanging in the air like poison gas. The film treats young people as people, like the works of J.D. Salinger, John Hughes, and Greta Gerwig, until it doesn't. The nudity actively undermines every humanistic instinct in the film by reducing the characters to just bodies to look at. And I agree with that, like, full heartedly, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? Because this is what I think it is because it's so real in every other way that it's like when you're watching these characters have sex so much, it feels like gratuitous and exploitative and like unnecessary at a certain point, right. you know? And like some of these actors were like underage at the time, like right. it's just
there's
like,
one I do think that you fully see a naked girl, and I looked it up and it was like she was 17.
Yeah,
because like I know Lisa's like 20 or 21 mm-hmm. when this is filmed. The boys are both in their 20s.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely, that one was the one where I was like, whoa. And I think that she might have been one of the ones who was like, I need to play, if I'm gonna be in this role, I don't want to be Pizza Hut girl.
Oh, like, yeah, the blonde girl. Yeah, with the, she, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like that nudity particularly was shocking to me, mm-hmm. because she, yeah, it did feel just like she was such a minor character.
Yeah.
Whoa. But it was like pun. Really pun because she was a minor too. Oh, Greg.
Got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing, it also has to do with the director mm-hmm. of this. Like, Larry Clark, if you don't know, is like a pretty controversial filmmaker who started off like as a photographer, like photographing the drug and like kind of outsider scene in like Tulsa, moved to New York City in like his 40s, like he was like yeah. way older, really like ingratiated himself with like the teenage skateboarders that hung around Washington Square Park in like lower Manhattan, became friends with Harmony Korine, another feature on the pod. He wrote and directed Spring Breakers, and they wrote and directed this movie called Kids, which is one of the most controversial films ever made.
Right.
It's a one and done movie. Like, it's really graphic, really. And those kids are like actually 14. Kid, yeah. Like they really young.
They casted like everything from the streets.
Yeah. They're like real people. These were like his friends that he's like.
And Rosario Dawson.
And Rosario Dawson and Chloe Sevigny in, she's kind of like the heart of the movie. And so all of his work is kind of centered around teenagers. Even as he like continues to get like older and older, he's like, some say it's exploitative, some say it's artistic, it has merit. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Right.
That's why watching this after a certain point, I'm like, I cannot tell if this guy is a fucking creep or not. And that's like not like the point of this movie, but it's like it's something to consider when you're thinking about who is behind the camera and who is pointing the gaze and choosing what is shown or not,
right?
You know?
Yeah. And I think also like the controversy like that he is a part of, and like that, like, oh, like, is it exploitative and like everything that you said, like builds more intrigue into like the moral muddiness of like the story in this one and like the story in Kids and like ethics. Like I think it like it has a lot of good like doorknobs into conversations about like ethics, morality, that like have you like, I mean, like ultimately at every single turn reconsidering like what you think and like gaining more information. It does get more confusing as you like gain more, and it
yeah
I think it's all rich.
It's all rich. It's all like I think his movies, even though they are disturbing, like, multiple viewings can maybe help you, like, kind of unpack that a little more.
Right.
It's also interesting that a lot of people that starred in his movies, like, died super young. And is that because he's, like, filming real people on the fringes of society,
mm-hmm.
perhaps? Yeah. I, like, reading this oral history of Bully, like, there is a lot of drama behind the scenes. And, like, the main character, I think the actor's name was Brad Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin addict, like, was using at the time of this movie. He was 18. He died when he was 25 of an overdose. Like, two of the stars of Kids both died super young from drugs. Like, is he exploiting these people that right. are, like, not, maybe this Hollywood is not the place for them? You right. know?
Yeah. And having that big of a name, like, that early on, like, in the 90s, I don't know. Yeah, like, you can get mixed up into some crazy ass shit.
Yeah, and it's like,
if you're a kid, dude, like,
sorry, if you're McCulkey. Like, literally 15.
Yeah.
And Kids was, like, a huge movie when it came out. It was right. like super controversial, like, everywhere. And these kids, like, really got propelled into, like, stardom.
Mm-hmm. And no media training, mm-hmm. no support system, really.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's interesting. And, like, I like his work. I like his photographs. I think, like, he's telling stories that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been told.
Mm-hmm.
He
has a very, like, specific point of view.
Yes.
I mean, Rapture is all about digging into exploitation and, like, constantly renegotiating that and, like, gaining context. And
yeah.
He's, like, a good case study.
Definitely.
And especially because he has such an expansive amount of work.
Yeah, that it's, like, all controversial, you know? Right. He doesn't, like, shy away from that.
Right, because I even think, like, with, like, Gregoraki, he ends up making, like, a lot of, like, movies later on that are just, like, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, like, he makes, like, Mysterious Skin mm-hmm. and, like, to an extent, Smiley Face that are just, like, fun movies.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. And he never felt like he was, like, his was, like, told with love, and, like, right. I don't know if that is necessarily, like, inflicted in this.
Yeah, totally.
And even, like, Mary Harron, like, the director of American Psycho, like, there's no love for her there for Patrick Bateman, but I think mm-hmm. there's a certain amount of love and caring for, like, the people that he's victimizing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's mostly, like, women or, like, you
like
know,
lower, like, lower class people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of, like, care there.
Especially adapting it from Bret Easton Ellis's. I know that, like, there was an interview where she was like, yeah, he didn't really like the movie that much, but he was ultimately grateful that she was able to, like, clarify the satire.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was like, I'm glad that people are finally getting my book. Because before, like, he's also a really controversial 90s guy. Like, people really
like
didn't.
Mega.
Like, one of the top. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, she took care of the subject matter by not, like, not making it a complete, like, gore fest, like, kill women, like, blah, blah, like, yes. ha, ha, ha. Like, she, like, treated it with so much, like, precision and intelligence.
It's so much intelligence. Like, mm-hmm. it's a super, super, like, clean, well-told story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to see what Luca Guadagnino is going to do with his remake of it. Because I do think you need someone to do this movie that is not, like, a straight white guy or, like... Mm-hmm. a straight white woman, basically. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you need someone with, like, that second kind of, like, layer to their life to be yeah. able to go underneath the surface.
Yeah, totally. Because you can, if you just adapt that book straight from it, it could lose a lot of the comedy of the book if mm-hmm. you just kind of, like, depicted him as, like, the void of a person that he is without any of the care that, like, Mary Harron approached it with.
Yeah.
I would love to see Io Debri be...
Be Patrick Bateman. Yeah,
I think
bro.
That would be the funniest thing ever.
Unfortunately, I heard Austin Butler is, like, top contender.
Me, like, gender swapping it, being like, that would be a huge win. But I want to see Austin.
Yeah,
I'll see
I think
Austin.
They'll do a good job. Both of them would do a good job.
But hey, let's petition for this one that we see some hog.
Yeah.
Like, really piss the fuck off that we got that whole scene in the tanning booth. You couldn't have gone down 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 inches.
Said, move the camera. Move the camera.
I was literally shouting at my TV as if he could hear me. I was like, hey, turn around. Hey, while you're fucking, you're like, pop out, wave it around.
Hi, like, say like, hi.
Just want to see us.
I'm going to read that really long quote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, so there's a... This, I think, is kind of maybe a nice summary of, like, Larry Clark's point of view as a filmmaker and storyteller. This is from The Oral History of Bully, and this is a quote from Leo Fitzpatrick, who was one of the stars of Kids, was one of the kids that Larry Clark was, like, around in the early 90s.
You have a long working relationship together.
Long working relationship, grew up with him. Like, he... You could argue that he was one of the people being exploited by Larry Clark, whatever. So he said, I think with Larry, the whole thing is that he kind of believes he started taking photographs too late in life. And he kind of wishes he photographed his own puberty. And that's why he's so obsessed with it. And the older he gets, the further away he gets from that. When he was doing his 1971 photo book, Tulsa, he was always a few years older, which is why you don't really see him in many of the photos, because he was too old to be participating, except for the drugs. But the sex stuff, he couldn't be in those photos because he was older than the people. He's so obsessed with this idea that more happens to you in 3 years than will ever happen to you in the rest of your life. And I don't think he'll ever be satisfied. What people don't understand is that Larry respects teenagers more than he respects adults. And for a lot of teenagers, this is the first adult who's telling them what you're doing is right. That's why kids are so comfortable around him, because he's an adult you can trust. A lot of people have their own opinions about Larry, and I let them have those opinions. But I also try to explain the best I can that he is actually not exploiting these people. He's trying to shine a light on them. Yeah. I know I did just say he's like one of the people being exploited by him. And I think you could argue that, too.
I think you could argue that. I mean, like, it's not, it's very sympathetic towards, and it also, like, thinking about, like, what gets negotiated here, right? Which is, like, this Leo character now has a platform and, like, has, like, success to an extent, but then, like, we'll never really know what was going on there.
Right.
It's such a, it's such, like, a fraught, like, gray space. And it's, like, even texting you today, I was, like, I truly don't know where to land on that, like, it's like a pretty inconclusive thesis, but like it is all just really good context.
It's more context to like the filmmaking, and again, it's like that's a, it's super important, like, to remember who is behind the camera,
right,
pointing, like, creating the shots and choosing what is in the film and what's not. And, like, I really liked Bully. I think I gave it, like, 4 stars, maybe, on Letterboxd. I think it's really good in some ways and, like, falls a little short in other ways.
Right. It's, like, almost so, so good and then does, like, fumble the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a good moral, like, questioning to be had. And did they, like, do something wrong? You don't really know.
Right. And it's like, you see all the sentences at the end, but then I like remember looking up on Wikipedia after to see, like, after the movie was released, and they like obviously can't edit the stuff that they said. A lot of people like got off early, or like some people truly are still in jail now. And that is interesting too, of how this story like lives on, and like how we still negotiate the morals, the morality of the situation. Like, they can like get off of parole early or whatever, like,
right, it's like they're punished, but like enough, quote unquote. Like, to some people, no, they would want them to be in jail for the rest of their lives. To others, they're like, why are they even being like charged for this,
right?
You know?
Yeah, it is such a good story to have picked to like have adapted to into a movie.
I think it'd be good to like teach philosophy classes, you know?
Right, because you can approach this from like every angle of every school of thinking and like come out with a different answer.
Right. And it's an interesting kind of litmus test of how someone sees the world. It's like, do they think this guy deserved to be killed? I don't know.
Yeah, that's always it's always a hard question to ask. But yeah, it is. It's especially like with like, like with like Luigi stuff, like, like it was like a huge topic of conversation, like the philosophy of things. I was like, we can't be going there yet. Like, right. we got a lot of things to talk about in society and like things that I feel like this movie opens up a really like kind of safe place to discuss this, mm-hmm. like in the confines of like, you know, artists and friends. And
yeah, like, it's like
community.
Exactly. It's like, it's not gonna hurt you.
Right. I was like, you don't have to have a hot take about this movie. Like, yeah. It is just like such a fun thing to like putz around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I guess maybe in like to continue the conversation of like the gray area, like not really knowing, like not really coming to a conclusive answer. I got this quote from this guy's review website. It is called Rittery Review by Arl Terry. And he ends his review of American Psycho with, "One of the great mysteries of American Psycho is whether or not Bateman has actually committed any of the murders and violent acts in the movie. There are hypotheses that suggest that it's all in his head, that we as the audience have witnessed the imagery of his mind and not his actions in real life. While the book American Psycho doesn't leave anything to the imagination, Herron chooses to withhold dramatic information from the audience in order to afford the audiences the opportunity to form images in their mind, which can sometimes, and often are, more potent and powerful."
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's like such a nice, like the ambiguity of this movie, though it is so over the top in your face and like, I mean, just like a deluge of like onslaught of sensory experience, mm-hmm. that leaving that up to interpretation, I think was such a cool part of that movie.
Right. Because you don't need to show like these women or like whoever being violently murdered. Like, we've seen that a million times. Mm-hmm. It's like almost more scary when he is walking next to a woman on a sidewalk. And then in the next scene, he's like taking bloody sheets to the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Cause it's like, it's almost more violent in that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the everything that we don't see and mm-hmm. how he plays it off when he's just like, it's cranberry juice, cranberry apple.
Yeah.
And he's like still yelling at the like truly working
that
class.
That scene
like,
was so funny too.
It was crazy. And then he like makes a stranger handle, like a acquaintance handle his dry cleaning for the night. It's like, that is so funny. But this like ambiguity to this movie, I think, is like also why people are able to return to it and like have such rich conversation about the satire and the like morality, or like the what they see Patrick Bateman as a symbol of, or like
exactly.
what the other characters are. Like, it's so good to be able to debate these things.
Yeah, there's a million ways you can talk about this movie. You can right. talk about it from the viewpoint of like masculinity, capitalism, like fucking Reaganomics, like I don't know.
Right.
But She does it so well that it's like each gets its kind of like time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave the movie in like a million different ways, like thinking about right. him.
I think it's like the third time I've watched it this year, because it's always so funny and that yeah. always like leaves you thinking something different.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is cool. Yeah. Like that you're like fixated on like one scene more.
Oh, and the fact that he just like gets away with it.
Yeah.
And
right.
he's like almost begging to be caught.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he confesses so many times. And it's like a little bit on the nose of a metaphor of like, if you're right. attractive, like rich white guy, like you can do whatever the fuck you want, you'll get away with it. But it's like the fact that he like wants to be caught, and like she talked about it. And like the fact that he isn't at the end is his prison,
mm-hmm.
where
yeah, nobody will notice him.
Yes, because he's so alike. He's so like everyone else that it's like he can be slaughtering people in the streets and no one notices.
Right.
You know,
there's this quote from The Guardian that I got too, that the final joke of American Psycho is that nobody seems to notice that anything is all that wrong with him. They weren't really listening anyway. Like, you can do all of that lashing out for attention or like wanting to like get your little fix, but mm-hmm. then people will literally be like, I don't even know your name.
Yeah. And he is, there's a case of mistaken identity like multiple times in this mm-hmm. movie, which is so funny because then you're like, oh my God, this guy is actually like a fucking loser.
Right. Like, nobody knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and both movies touch on like groupthink mm-hmm. in a really interesting way. And like conformity
mm-hmm.
and how that can like lead you to do things like you don't really want to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's just so many good parallels that make this like a really good double feature. Like,
yeah,
watching them back to back is cool.
Oh, I would definitely recommend watching them in one day.
Yeah. Like, there's such like, they're sweet pairing. They're also like, I don't think either of them are like over 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, which shocks me. I'm like, critics really don't like this shit because
they don't want to think.
They don't want to think. Only we want to think.
Only we do. There are two people in this world that want to think. And, here. And chicken, if there's food.
He's like passed out.
Wait, oh my gosh. Chicken woke up for heaven or hell?
Jerwin.
Mm-hmm.
Florida.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to put it in heaven because shout out Josh.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. Shout out Elise.
Shout out a lot of people in Florida.
Yeah. That's like kind of a tricky one, but.
We can't send our good friends to hell.
We can't.
But yeah, Disney, you know, it's already hell, so.
Period.
Heaven to some. Oh my gosh, we the 10 listeners that we have are all Disney gays and they boycotted our podcast. Elizabeth, what about clear raincoats?
I think it's incredibly chic, and I thought I loved his style. I loved his apartment.
Right. I'm kind of like, let me get your stylist's number because. And also this fucking clear raincoat around Halloween when people are like, I don't know what to be.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like so easy.
Yeah, I'm like, that is.
That's groupthink.
That's. I'm like, it's heaven because of the access. But you know what? Be Chloe 70 from this one.
Yeah, yeah. Put on a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about having a Les Mis poster hanging above your toilet?
This feels like a direct read from my life. But I'm like, it's from Bully.
It's from American Psycho.
Really?
Yeah, in the montage when he's like peeing and he's like looking.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know I was looking at something else.
Yeah.
Oop. I can't take a swing at Disney gays and theater gays in one blow. There's probably a lot of overlapping communities, so I'll say that can be heaven because you know what, everyone? Go see some live theater this season. My god. to bring it back to her. Elizabeth, Chloe Sevigny.
Heaven. Duh.
Every time. She raised you.
She raised me a little bit. Her and Alexa Chung.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tumblr. Thank
you. What about characters looking stinky on film?
Well, we might disagree, but I'm going to, of course, say heaven.
I'm going to say heaven, too, because okay. I like the realism of it.
And you don't have to actually smell them, which is the huge key there.
Exactly. We're safe, but
I'm like,
again.
But if you stink, also, hi. Like, hey. Elizabeth, what about Eminem? The copious amount of Eminem that was blasting in the background of Bully was so funny.
I'm going to go purgatory on him.
Right.
He did do a lot for culture. In the early 2000s, mm-hmm. but I can't in good conscience give him heaven.
Right. He literally invented stan culture mm-hmm. or whatever. He's white enough to be in purgatory.
Yeah.
Slay.
What about that gay guy from Mean Girls?
I mean, like, has he done enough for culture?
No.
We don't know. Maybe he has to hang out with Eminem. That's his prison, is that he has to be stuck in purgatory with Eminem. Like he's kind of the inverse of Eminem where he's like hasn't done anything wrong in my mind but has he done enough?
No, being in this movie is cool mm-hmm. but me nothing since too. Yeah sure yeah.
Oh he was a judge on Snatch Game once.
Snatch Game.
okay, what about what about when a guy makes you listen to music?
Hell, that's hell.
Right.
And let no hell.
I think that scene with Huey Lewis in the news is exactly how it felt like to be in college in a guy's dorm when he's trying to explain to you what Tame Impala is.
Dude, that scene is so fucking funny.
Yeah, right?
But yes, it's like, it's hell. It's hell.
I mean, like, and even to an extent, this is what it is like when I say I don't like Boy Genius and a lesbian is like, well, here's why you should. Yeah. Like, it will never happen.
Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, this was gorgeous. If you want to read any of the articles that we were referencing, we will have a study guide posted on our Instagram. Mm-hmm.
And we will be back in 2 weeks. We will.
We promise.
With another I don't know, deep dive.
Hopefully.
Probably, yeah. Something.
Whatever we feel, honestly, whatever the fuck we feel like, it's summertime. Like,
yeah.
If we want to go summertime. Watch a movie. Summertime. Like, if we wanted to do a double feature next time about Bad Guys 1 and Bad Guys 2, we fucking could. Can. Okay. Oh, yeah. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Rap to the Pod.
Do it.
And rate, review, subscribe. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Leave us a comment. Those are really cute, by the way.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Bye. Bye.